So, yeah, the topic for this week and I expect next week is Shemitah on the land owned by a non-Jew. And I want to divide it up into two, potentially three areas. Number one, for this week, Kedushas Shviyas in the land of the non-Jew, whether the produce that grows there has the status of Shemitah produce. Number two, whether you're allowed to do malacha in his land, as a second question. And then number three, the question of rendering his produce as hefker, produce that grows in his land as hefker, the ability to gather that and some of the rules that'll pertain there. So there's a lot to see, and frankly I was very hesitant about giving shiur on this week. I'm not sure I have a full handle on this. I'm working with it, but there are still sources that I'm digging through that I suspect may change my perspective on some of this. But I think what I'm going to present is solid, but we'll have to see. It'll play out. You have to start, obviously, with the Gemara in Gittin, which we have in source Aleph. I brought you the beginning and end of the sugya. I chopped out the middle just because it wasn't directly relevant. But we start with the Mishnah in source Aleph, Mishnah from This is part of the series of Mishnayos that deal with Tikkun HaOlam issues. And it says that if you sell your field to someone who isn't Jewish, field in Israel, you are responsible to purchase the Bikurim from him and bring them. Not Mideoraisa, but Tikkun HaOlam, way to repair the world. And the idea at its core is we don't want you selling your fields to the Ovdei Kochavim, we want you to keep your field. So the Gemara has a machlokas as to what exactly the effect of the Akum's purchase of the land does. Debate between Rabba and Rabba Lazar. Amar Rabba, Av b'shein kenyan lo v'kochavim v'eretz Yisrael afkia midei maiser, shenemar kili ha'aretz, li kedushas ha'aretz. Rabba says, even though there is no kinyan for him in the sense of being able to terminate the kedusha of the land, such that there should be no truma and maiser, because after all the pasuk says, kili ha'aretz, the land belongs to Hashem. And that means the sanctity of the land belongs to Hashem. And that means that nothing a person does can actually remove that kedusha. Aval, however, yesh kinyan lo v'kochavim v'eretz Yisrael, there is kinyan for him in the sense that when he buys the land, he is free to do whatever he wants to disfigure it. He can dig cisterns and caves and pits and whatnot. That's his right, because ha'aretz nasan lifnei adam. Hashem gave the land to human beings. But the part that's relevant for us, not the second half, the part that's relevant for us is the first half, which is, he says, the non-Jew's kinyan does not do anything in terms of uprooting the kedusha. Rabbi Lazar disagrees. Rabbi Lazar, Amar Af b'sheyesh kinyan l'kochav meretz Yisrael afkia midei maaser. He says, no, they do have a kinyan such that they can remove the kedusha. Shenemar, because the Torah says in the laws of maaser, you're supposed to separate from diganacha, your produce. V'lo diganov v'kochavim, not the dagan, the produce of the non-Jew. The grain grown by the non-Jew. That tells me that his produce is exempt because his kinyan, his acquisition of the land, his transaction with the land, manages to remove the kedusha, but he doesn't have the ability to dig cisterns and such in the land because Lashem ha'aretz umloa. Fine. The discussion about Hashemayim from Lashem ha'aretz umloa versus Lashem ha'aretz umloa, well known, the Gemara and Brachos and so on, all very nice, not relevant for our discussion. The point is, Rabba and Rabba Lazar have a debate as to the status of the non-Jew's kinyan. So the Gemara asks, "B'maika miflugi, what exactly is this machlokas about?" Mar sabar deganacha v'lo degano v'kochavim. One view, as expressed by Rabbi Elazar, is only your grain is subject to Meiser, but not his. And we are assuming that, just like that's true for Meiser, that will apply to all the other Kedusha issues. Umar Sabar, digun chavlo diguno v'kochavim. The other one says, no, it's about digun, the act of bringing together this produce. And so it's not about whether it grew in his land or grew in your land, it's about who was the one who actually did the processing. Not in the sense of being the employee in the field, but in the sense of being the owner at the time that the processing takes place. So that if it grew in the non-Jew's land, but it was processed afterwards, when a Jew had already bought it, according to this, he'd be obligated in Maaser, even if we said Yesh Kinyan. Fine. The Gemara then goes through a series of sources, which, first there's one source that supports Rabba, then there are two sources that challenge Rabba, and then it quotes our Mishnah about the Bikurim. So Amar Chiyabar Avin Tashma Hamocher Sadeo Lavikochavim Lokechum Bevi Bikurim Bnei Tikkun HaOlam. Our Mishnah said that if you sell your field to a non-Jew, you have to go buy the Bikurim and bring them. So that implies Mibnei Tikkun HaOlam in Midorai Salo. The only reason I have to do this is because the rabbi said so. But otherwise, there would be no status of Bikurim for that land. That should prove Yesh Kenyan La'ovikochavim. That supports the idea of Rabbi Elazar that the non-Jew has managed to, by purchasing the land, eliminate these mitzvahs. So Am Ravashi Shtei Takanos Havu. Ravashi says, no, that's because you misunderstand what happened here with this Tikkun HaOlam thing. There were actually two enactments. There is a Chiyuv to bring the Bikurim, even without any Takana whatsoever. The Takana was a separate creation. What happened was, Meikara Havu Maisi Midoraisa. Originally, even after you sold the land, you would go to his field and you would bring the Bikurim. That was a mitzvah. But what happened? The Chachamim saw that since the mitzvos were still in force, people felt there was nothing wrong with selling the land to the non-Jew, because the Kedusha remains anyway. Who cares? We're still doing all the mitzvos. So, they would sell the land to the non-Jew. Disavri b'Kedusha sayu kaimun, saying, well, why not? The Kedusha is still there. They said, aha, takinu lehu delo leisu. They said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to tell them not to bring the Bikurim. And by losing the chance for the Bikurim, they're going to say, oh, wait, that's not the way this is supposed to work. That's not good. And therefore, they won't sell. But what happened? They saw that somebody who didn't have money would still sell it off. He may feel bad, but he's still selling off the field. And the fields end up staying with the Ovdei Kochavim, and now all that we've gained is that we don't have Bikurim being brought, right? In other words, nothing's been gained. So they said, okay, fine, so bring the Bikurim. So the question is, how would we conclude? That's the end of the discussion here, as far as this is concerned, in the Gemara. So what's our conclusion? Yesh Kenyan or Ein Kenyan? The conclusion seems to support Rava, because the last word was Rava's word, number one. And number two, because Rav Ashi tried to make it satisfy Rava, and Ravina Rav Ashi get the last word in the Gemara. So that would seem to be the case. And indeed, if you take a look at source base, you see the Rambam and Hilchos Trumos. Akum shekara karka beretz Yisrael, the non-Jew buys land in Israel, lo hifkiyua min ha-mitzvos ela harehi b'kedushasa. He did not remove it from its mitzvos. It retains the kedusha. Right? Ein kinyan, in other words. Lefichach, im chazer Yisrael v'lakham imenu, eina kikibush yachid, ela makrish trumos v'maisos v'mivi bikurim v'akol min atara ki lo nimkra la'akumei olam. And therefore, if a Jew were to go buy the land off of an on-Jew, we wouldn't treat it like David HaMelech's kibush yachid in Syria and say now things are only a derabanan. No, it would regain and retain, really, full kedusha, such that he would have to do all of these mitzvos. Now, what's particularly notable in this source, and we're going to have to come back to, is that the Rambam shows his illustration, a case in which a Jew bought it off of the non-Jew. If I wanted to be consistent with our Gemara and Gittin, I would talk about where the Jew had sold it to the non-Jew and it was in the hands of the non-Jew. Why am I talking about where you bought it back? So you have to keep that in mind. But the Rambam concludes with V'yesh kenyan la'akum b'Surya lafkiya min ha'maisvos min ha'shviyas k'mo she'yis bo'er. Surya, where the whole kedusha is derabbanan in the first place, has a different status. Such that Meiser and Shviyas can be removed. Fine. So the Kesef Mishnah writes on this in Source Gimel, that when the Rambam rules the Israel, not Surya, but Israel itself, Ein kinyan lo v'kochavim, the non-Jew's kinyan does not uproot the kedusha, so he refers you to the Gemara that we saw. He notes the Rambam is following Rabba because Rav Ashi is the last one, and he makes it work with Rabba. Clear? Good? Okay, no disagreements yet? Excellent.
Question on Rav Ashi's last one in the Gemara.
Not because of the last Vamor in the Sugya. Whenever you see in the Gemara that Ravina or Rav Ashi takes somebody's side, you'll see in the Rishonim, they'll discuss how we pass in the Sugya, and they'll say, well, Rav Ashi, sides with him, therefore we follow him. Or Ravina sides with him, therefore we follow him.
Yeah, I thought because Rav Ashi was the latest up there we're running.
Right, not the latest in the Sugya. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's correct. Now, what we're going to see here We saw this Kesef Mishnah, but when we see the Kesef Mishnah in Hachashmita V'Yovel, Dalet Chavtes, he is going to seize on a couple of points, but one of them is the fact that the Rambam here gave us the case in which the Jew bought it back, and he is going to say that it's specifically where the Jew buys the land back that we say that there's Ein Kinyan. In other words, when the land is in the possession of the non-Jew, there is no Kedusha to it. It's only when the land is bought back by the Jew, then there is Kedusha. Practical application, status of the produce grown during Shemitah in the land when the non-Jew owns it. So that's gonna matter a great deal.
The Mishnah has a whole thing about just buying back the fruit, though, not necessarily the land. Right?
Well, that was the case there.
Right. So I'm saying, would that apply at all to the Rambam here? If you were to say, you know, we're saying the Rambam says only when the Jew reclaims the land, then he has to bring the Bikurim again. Could you say if a Jew bought that same fruit from the non-Jewish farmer?
Pre or post Meruach? If it's post Meruach, no.
Right.
Pre Meruach.
Well, not for Bikurim.
Bikurim. Right, no, Bikurim doesn't. You're talking about Bikurim specifically because he's the Mishnah. So, no, I don't think he's saying that.
No?
I don't think he's saying that. I think he's saying when you buy back the land. The reason Rashi says it on the Mishnah is because that was the Mishnah's case, because that was what the Jews were doing. I don't think it's a statement beyond that. Yeah. So that's one Rambam. And from there, I would say very clearly the Rambam believes Ein Kinyan and the land retains its Kedusha, and it's all simple and straightforward. Too bad, because we also have to read the Rambam in Hachashmita V'Yovel. In Hachashmita V'Yovel, Dalet Chavtes, source Dalet on your sheet, the Rambam writes, Akum Shekona Karka Be'eretz Yisrael, if a non-Jew buys land in Israel, Uzra B'Shvi'is, and he plants it during Shemitah, Peroseha Mutarin, the produce is Mutar. Well, you understand why that's a problem, right? What do you mean the produce is Mutar that he planted? You just told me Ein Kinyan L'Havkia. But that's what he says, and he gives you a reason, or we think he's giving us a reason. Shelo gazru al hasfichin elam ipnei ovrei avera. He says the whole decree about stuff that grows wild, that you're not supposed to eat that during Shemitah, was because of people who would sin and plant things and claim that they had it. Right? We've had this discussion about Svichin already. They would claim it had grown wildly, but in fact they planted it, so therefore we prohibit Svichin, right? Well, there's no reason for us to make a similar gezerah on that which the non-Jew has in his field, even if he actually worked it, because he was allowed to work it. Even if I were to take the extreme view of Ein Kinyan La'ove Kochav Mahafkia, the Kedusha remains. It's not, Shemitah is not one of the Shevamitzvos B'nei Noach. He can do whatever he likes. So therefore, there's no knas, there's no purpose to finding him to get him to stop working his field. So therefore, the Rambam says his produce is mutter. That's the statement of the Rambam. So now I am stuck because the Rambam sounds like he is saying that that there is a kinyan now for him. Because if you're going to tell me the Rambam is saying ain kinyan, right? That it retains. Well, I'm sorry. You could read it either way. Let me not jump the gun. We'll see how they walk through it, because otherwise I'm going to take a side. The two schools in explaining the Rambam's view. The first school we'll go through is the view of the Kaftor HaFerach. Kaftor HaFerach Rishon, who writes all about Eretz Yisrael, if you can look in, I don't remember who did it last year, someone did a bio of him. I think I did the bio last year of him. For Toronto Torah. Let me take a fast look. If so, I'll give you a little bit of information. Yes, I did the bio. Great. Rav Yitzchak HaKohen, also known as Ishtori, was born in Florencia, Spain in 1280 to a scholarly family. His grandfather published Sfarim on the Torah's Dine Mamanos. He's quoted by the Meiri. I'm skipping through this, but he wrote the first formal book of Israeli geography, known as Kaftor HaFerach, in the year 1322. His goal was to describe Eretz Yisrael based on his first person visits. That was his intent in doing this. He also wrote on many other things: medicine, ethics, philosophy. Very interesting. But he's basically known for the Kaftor HaFerach. Okay, from where read the Toronto Torah where this appeared. But he takes the view they're in Kenyan. That's the view of the Kafta Raferach, that the non-Jew is not able to remove the Kedusha of the land. And he says, I'll prove it to you. Go back to the Rambam's view in the Perish HaMishnayos in Shavuos. Remember this Mishnah that we saw in Source Hay. Shalosh Arotzes L'Shavuos. There are three lands for Shemitah. Kol Shechziku Ole Balmei Eretz Yisrael Vad Gezim. That which the Jews took coming back from Bavel. Lo Ne'achal V'lo Ne'avad. May not be eaten and may not be worked. So we had the debate, but we already have seen as to what Lo Ne'achal V'lo Ne'avad means. But if you take a look at the Perish HaMishnayos in the classic edition of the Perish HaMishnayos, not the one that appears on your Bar Ilan, but the original, so to speak, or not the original, but in Source Vav, he says, what does Lo Ne'avad mean? She'im te'aved al yidei acher, asur lecho mimasha totzi. That means that if it is worked by somebody else, you are not allowed to eat that which it produces. That's the Rambam's definition of eino ne'achal. You can't eat that which somebody planted. And the Kafta Raferach says, the Rambam is talking about what a non-Jew planted. And he's saying that you are not allowed to eat it. And he says, not only that, we know he's talking about a non-Jew's land. So it's what a non-Jew planted on a non-Jew's land. How do I know that it's a non-Jew's land? Because if the Rambam's comment was limited to a Jew's land, that would mean that the Rambam would hold Yesh Kinyan Lo Bekochavim Lafkia. Right? That would be the result. If the Rambam said it's only a Jew's land, not a non-Jew's land, that means he believes that a non-Jew is able to remove the Kedusha. And if that was what the Rambam believed, then back in Source Dalet, when he was making his point about why you're allowed to eat the stuff that the non-Jew grew, he wouldn't give his reason as because Sfichin doesn't make sense for them. He would give the reason because the non-Jew managed to remove the Kedusha. Right? That's the argument of the Kafta Raferach, is that if the Rambam believed that his comment about Eino Ne'achal Eino Ne'avad, that you're not allowed to eat it, was only in a Jew's land, he wouldn't have made a fuss about Sfichin and Hechosh Mita V'Yovel. Now, the Radvaz says no. The Radvaz writes, did I bring it on here? Yeah, if you take a look at Source Zion, the Radvaz says that's not what the Rambam meant in the Perish HaMishnayos. He says, "Umashikasav Rabbeinu beperish haMishnah lo neachal v'lo neavad v'im teyaved al yedei acher aser lech leimasha totzi al karchach ayri b'shenevda be'isur kegon Yisrael." He says that what the Rambam was talking about with lo neachal v'lo neavad, saying you're not allowed to eat what it produced, that's talking about where a Jew did the work. Avalam avda ha'akum, but if a non-Jew did the work, akum lo nitzdava. The non-Jew has no such mitzvah of not to work it. And therefore you'd be allowed to eat it. Hilkachim avda Yisrael, afapi shehi shal akum, kemen shenase iser bavodasa in ochlin es perosea. He says if it's a non-Jew's land, but a Jew does the work, it's still asur. Because he is saying in Kenyan, fundamentally, at least for this purpose. And so the position of Radvaz is that you cannot prove anything here regarding where a non-Jew did the work. That's just a separate read of the Rambam in Perish HaMishnayos. It doesn't change our read of what the Rambam is doing here. The Derech Emunah, Rav Chaim Knievsky, notes that there's another piece of support for this, which we've already seen. If you take a look at Source Ches, he's not the only one to do this. I mean, the Maharit does it also. The Chazon Ish notes it as well. I just had a good one line out of the Derech Emunah, so I took it. But he says, "V'kach pasak Rabbeinu b'perek Aleph mitrumas halacha yud de'ein kinyan legoy v'lo chilek tibizman hazeh sha'ani." He says the Rambam said it explicitly already back in Source Beis when he said that Meiser is still going to apply and Kedusha is going to apply in the land that the Akum purchased. So obviously the Rambam believes ein kinyan. Got it? Clear? Okay, the challenge to this view is, if the Rambam really believes Ein Kinyan, then why in Dalet Chavtes, right, that we saw in Source Dalet, why there did the Rambam say that Peroseha Mutarit, that if the non-Jew works the field, that the produce that he grows is Mutar? That I don't understand. It seems clear that planting in the Akum's land, which is a De'oraisa, should be prohibited, and therefore whatever he plants should be off limits. It's not like the Drabanan of Sfichin. And the Kafta Raferach says, I don't know. Right? He shrugs and says, I brought the line just because it's a nice line in source test. Vel haravzal yeshi lahamin afal smol shahu yamin. Okay, which happens to rhyme as well. So that's what the Kaftar Beferah says. The other view is of Yosef Karo's view in his Kesef Mishnah to Shemitah V'Yoval Dalet Chavtes. And his approach is that the Rambam believes Yesh Kinyan, that in fact it removes the Kedusha. And I'll prove it to you, because in Dalet Chavtes, the Rambam says you're allowed to eat whatever the non-Jew plants. So clearly he believes Yesh Kinyan. So that is subject to at least three challenges. Challenge number one is, then what do you do with Eino Nechal V'Eino Ne'avad back in Shvius Vav Aleph? Right? What are you going to do? In Shvius, in his parish of Mishnayos to Shvius, he said that a non-Jew working in the field means you're not allowed to eat it. That's what we said when we said Eino Ne'achal. So the answer of the Kesef Mishnah is two points. Number one, he'll say, like the Radvaz said, that in the parish of Mishnayos, he's talking about where Yisrael did the work, not where a non-Jew did the work. Number two, he notes, as we noted when we saw this in Shir originally, source Yud, the Rambam says in Shemitah V'Yovel Dalet Chavav that Eino Ne'achal doesn't mean that. Rather, Kol Shechziku Bo Olei Bavel Akziv Asur Ba'avod V'Chol HaSfichen SheTzomchin Bo Asurin Ba'achila. It's that you're not allowed to eat the Sfichen. It's not that you're not allowed to eat what somebody else worked on. So I'm going with that version of it. That's how I'll answer that challenge. Challenge number two to the Kesef Mishnah is, what about when the Rambam used Lo Gazru Sfichin to explain why the non-Jew's work is permitted? Why didn't the Rambam say Yesh Kinyan? Right? Remember, again, the position taken by the Kaftor Vaferach was that the fact that the Rambam invokes Sfichin instead of saying Yesh Kinyan is proof he believes Ein Kinyan. So I'll ask the Kesef Mishnah, why didn't the Rambam just say Yesh Kinyan and walk away? You know, that all in a day's work. So his answer is to read the Rambam differently. The Rambam is not using Lo Gazru Sfichin to explain why the non-Jew's work is permitted. It's not the non-Jew's work is permitted because we're not going to make a decree of Sfichin. Rather, the Rambam says it's mutter because of Yesh Kinyan. He adds, lest you say, well, wait a minute, why don't we create a decree of Sfichin? Because after all, the decree of Sfichin prohibits that which should be permitted on a Jew's land. Let's create that also for the non-Jew's land, even though it's permitted under Yesh Kinyan. And his answer is, the Gzera Sfichin is irrelevant. That's the way that he reads this. By the way, one reason I'm forcing the two of you to go through all this discussion is to make sure I'm right in my read here. So, you know, catch me if I'm saying something that makes no sense. Challenge number three to the position of Rav Yosef Karo is, what about Hilchos Trumos? In Hilchos Trumos, he said that it retains its Kedusha, right? Regarding Meiser, he said the land retains its Kedusha. What do you mean, Yesh Kinyan? So his answer is, and this is what I said when we were reading through it, he'll say that's where the Jew bought the land back. If the Jew bought the land back, then it's subject to all the Kedusha and so on. But when it's in the hands of the Akum, it is not. Which again, as I said back then, I think he has to be reading that into Rabbah's view in the Gemara. Because otherwise the Rambam is inventing a brand new point of view that didn't appear in Gittin. So it has to be that this would be Rabbah's view back in the Gemara. That when he says Ein Kinyan, he means it specifically after you have bought it back. Okay.
That's really about the thing. If we want to play with the wording, you really possibly mean Kinyan, but the definition of Ein Kinyan is Yesh Kinyan when the non-Jew has it.
Exactly. So we then have to move to the next phase. Okay, that's the machlokas in understanding the Rambam. So the next phase is machlokas between the Maharit / Mabit on the one hand and the Beis Yosef on the other hand regarding this question of Yesh Kinyan or Ein Kinyan, and I am using for this the Maharit as brought in the Tshuvos Avkas Rochel, which is Rabbi Yosef Karo's body of Tshuvos, Chav Beis and Chav Gimel. If you look at the Mabit, there are a couple of Tshuvos there, especially Aleph Chav Aleph, that are very good. I found it easier to work from what he presented there. And then the Beis Yosef's response appears in Chav Dalet. And you also have Chav Hey there, fine. But the Maharit's view is Ein Kinyan. He says the Maritz view is it retains its Kedusha. Now, their discussion in the Avkas Rochel is really not a discussion about Shemitah. Well, it is, but it's the other side of the question. The question is, if it's not subject to Shemitah, then is it subject to Truma and Meiser? And that's the discussion that they're having. And the Maharid says, in Kenyan, and therefore there is no Meiser obligation. So I chose, rather than to bring the very lengthy Maharid for this, I chose instead to bring his sources on the source sheet and to go through some of his proofs and the responses of the Beis Yosef, rather than go through the very lengthy text itself. And I selected some. I didn't go through every one of the sources on each side. It's simply too long. But if you take a look on your sheet at source Yud Aleph, you get one of the principal sources, Gemara in Yevamos, specifically a Braisa. Oved kochav mishay mocher peros b'shuk. A non-Jew is selling produce in the marketplace. Va'amar peros halalu shel arlahein. And he said, this produce is arla produce. Okay? You want to know, this is really good stuff. It's from the first 3 years of the tree. Or shall azeka hain, and we don't know what azeka means for the moment, but it's azeka produce. Shall neta revai hain, it's from the fourth year of the grapevine. So now the question is, do we assume this is off limits, in fact, because the non-Jew has just told you they're asur? Lo amar klum. No, his words are irrelevant, because lo niskaben el hashbiach mekho. What he was really trying to do was make his stuff sound very good. He felt that you were going to pay more for it because he said this, and in fact, we assume he's lying. Okay? That's what the Gemara says. Rashi brings two explanations for the Azeka case, which is the one that matters. First explanation is, Mipardes mi'uzak, v'geder saviv lo l'shomro. Mi'uzak means the stones have been removed. So we'll talk about that, I think, eventually when we talk about Malacha and a field during Shemitah and Ma'azkin. He says this is an orchard that has had the stones removed, and there's a fence around it to guard it. V'hishnas shvius, and it is a Shemitah year. It's a guarded field which would make whatever grows in it usur. That's the first explanation. Just like the Arla's Aser, the Netar Revai has its rules, so too, this is a Pardes Me'uzak, and therefore it's off limits. To which Rashi says, why would that make it off limits? You're not supposed to fence in your Shemitah field. That's true. But why would that make the produce off limits? V'kashuli, D'mai Yisr Yeshkan, what Yisr is involved? Im Avar Zman HaBiur, if you're telling me it's after the time for Biur, when you're supposed to get rid of the stuff, then it has nothing to do with being Me'uzak. Loshnam and Amishumar, Loshnam and Amufkar, Asurim. Then it's all going to be off limits. Whether it was guarded or not guarded, Hefkar or not Hefkar, doesn't matter. V'kodem Hazman, Eilu ve'Eilu Mutarim. And if it's before the time, then they're both Mutar. So Rashi says, I don't understand. Okay? So Rashi's answer, a second approach, it's also brought in Tosfos and Sukkah, is actually that Azeka was a city with great produce in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore will be subject to Shemitah. The non-Jew in question, this merchant, is outside of Eretz Yisrael. And he's trying to tell you, this is really great produce, it comes from the city of Azeka. And therefore, the laws of Shemitah will apply, and so on. So here's what the Maharit draws from this discussion about Azeka. He says, Rashi's challenge to the first approach shows that he believes that if the produce really was from a guarded field, it would have Shemitah status, right? If we believed him, right? It would have Shemitah status, even though the non-Jew grew it, and will be also if it was after beer, right? That's the point. And don't tell me you bring it from the second answer. You can't prove it from the second answer, because the second answer, that it's a city in Israel called Azeka, it could have been Aser because of Meiser. Didn't have to be Aser because of Shemitah. But that's his, that's the approach of the Maharit. And if you're going to say that our concern is really not that, maybe it's that it's a Jew's produce in the hands of a non-Jew, right? And it's really not his originally. Don't say that, because then why would we say that the reason it's mutter is because we disbelieve him? We could believe him and it would still be mutter. Because we would say, maybe it is from Azeka, but it's his. Right? You follow? the message of the Azeka source, according to the Maharit, is that we see from here, from the fact that Rashi gives the challenge the way he does, and he says that if it was from there, it would be Osiri after Biur. That tells me that he believes Ein Kenyan. Because the non-Jews guarded field, the result of it would have been that this stuff is now guarded or unguarded. The point is that if it's from the non-Jews field, Shemitah still pertains. Got it? Okay.
Does it not affect things just the part? Does it make sense with the Mabit, not the Maharit?
I thought you quoted the Maharit there.
Isn't that on Moshe Matra?
Could be. So if I could take a look at my Avkas Rochel.
He starts off, Kapitala quotes that Lashon Hara. That's so crazy. First day was Moshe Matra.
That's strange. Hang on. I'll just take a fast look.
No,
it doesn't, but I'd like to get it right. I thought that he was quoting Maharit. Why did I see you. I see what you have. Interesting. Okay. Good gesagt. He's quoting the Maharit. That's interesting. I'm sure I had a reason for saying that.
I think the Maharit is involved somewhere.
Well, he is.
In the Rosary one.
No, he is involved. It's very strange. Okay, the second source that he brings. Thank you. The Tosefta in Ahalos is another classic in this discussion. I'm brought it here in source Yud Gimel. Hey, Rabbi Yehuda ben Yaakov mi beis Guvrin, v'Yaakov Rabbi Yitzchak mi beis Gufnin, al Kesari shechzigu b'me'olam v'hitiru hashalahu b'minyan. The people said, without having a vote of a Beis Din, they said that this area in Caesarea and Caesarea is mutter. Amar Bichanan, Osa Shana Shavias Haisa. Rabbi Chanan says that year was Shemitah. V'alchu goyim l'karkesiyahu shalahen. The non-Jews went off to their circuses. V'inichu shuk mali peros, and they abandoned the marketplace. No one wanted to sell anything. They just left their stuff there. They said, okay, we're going to the circus. And they left the produce there in the market. Ubo Yisrael, ubo Zezum. And the Jews went and they despoiled the market. They took everything. And then the non-Jews come back and say, hey, let's find out what the Chacham did. They permit them Chazirim also. That's the Tosefta. So the Tosefta indicates that the Jews eat the peroshvias that they get in Caesarea, and on that, Rabbeinu Shimshon, commenting on a Mishnah in the last parak in Ahalos, writes the following in Source Yudalit: V'hitiru shelo b'minyan me'atzman hitchilu linog b'heter. On their own, they just decided that it was mutter. Ulupotra mi'maiser u'mishvias. They said no maiser and no shvita. Avo pishlo ninu chacham u'matir b'minyan. Even though no Beis Din had actually permitted it. Ubal Yisrael u'bazizum. The Jews came and took the stuff. V'lo asrum bishum shvias la'achar habir. And they didn't say, well, wait a minute, it's shvita produce after beer. They simply didn't treat it that way. So the point is that the way that Rabbeinu Shimshon reads the case, that they ate it even though it was Shemitah produce post Biur, the implication is that that if this really was Israel, if Caesarea had not been decided to be outside of Eretz Yisrael, then it would be also after Biur. So that shows, again, Ein Kenyan, that the non-Jews Kenyan would not have removed its status. Third source, Yerushalmi in Shvias, source Tezvav. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Bun Boi Kume Rabbi Mana. Rabbi Yossi Bun asks Rabbi Mana the following question: Ma ulitchonim ha'akum be'abaretz? Are you allowed to grind up produce with a non-Jew in Eretz Yisrael? Amar le masnisa amra shehu asur. To which he said, well, I have a Mishnah that says you're not allowed to. Ditaneinon, because the Mishnah says, osim bitalush bisurya. You are allowed to work with Shemitah produce that's already been separated from the ground, right? Like what you're grinding up in Surya. Avaloba mechuber, not with that which is connected to the ground. But the implication of saying you're allowed to do it in Surya is, habaaretz afilu bitalush ye asur. The implication is, in Israel, even if it is talush, it's still going to be prohibited. So there's no grinding with the Akum in Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, then, his produce has Shemitah status. Another source.
That's so clear that Im HaAkum means his land, the Akum's land?
No, that's the assumption he makes.
Okay.
I'm going to come back to Beis Yosef's responses in a minute. His answer for most of the sources is, well, actually, that's a Jew's produce in the hands of an Akum. The next couple that I'm going to bring you are actually from the Rosh Cirillo, mentioned in the Avkas Rochel in Shuva Chav Gimel, which I had written was the Ma'arit, but now I'm wondering if I also got that one wrong, and that it's actually Ma'arit too. Let's take a fast look. Actually, well, it doesn't add. It just says it's Shenish Shal Harav. So yes, it's going to also be Ma'arit. Okay. But he quotes the Tosefta in Shuvias, which I brought you here in number Tetzayin. Ein mochin vein lochim in hagoyim in akuti perishvias. You can't buy off of him. You can't buy Shemitah produce off of him. So obviously his produce has Shemitah status. Next, he quotes Yibaba Basra at Sadi Amo de Beis. Amar le Rav Yossi Rabbi Chanina le Puga Shamei. Rav Yossi Chanina tells his servant, Puga, poketz early pere shaloshanim, store up for me produce of 3 years to cover years 6, 7, and 8 to avoid beer problems. So once again, same idea. And then lastly, the last source I'm going to bring in this isn't a source, it's logic. The Rosh Cirillo argues logically. He says, a non-Jew's produce has kedusha in terms of meiser. Right? This is like Hichel Strumos. The non-Jew's produce has kedusha as far as meiser is concerned. Forget Shemitah, year 5. Right? So that if a Jew does the Gemar Malacha, then it's going to be subject to Meiser, and the only reason we need a Jew to do Gemar Malacha is the Gzeres HaKos of the Guncha, Diguncha, fine. So if it has Kedusha for Meiser, why wouldn't it have Kedusha for Shemitah? The Beis Yosef's response to all of the above is, I can deal with these. As far as your first source that you brought about the Azeka case, right? He says the concern that we really had when the non-Jew said this was Azeka produce is that it was a Jew's produce. But you asked if it was really that it was a Jew's produce, then you said, then why don't we say that we do believe him, that it's some Azeka, and we just say we don't believe him, that it's that belongs to a Jew, maybe it's really his. So he says, we don't say that because we want to make the stronger statement. We want to make the stronger statement that this merchant has no credibility at all. As far as most of the other sources, his answer is we're concerned about being a Jew's produce held by the non-Jew. And as far as Dalech Chavtes, on the Sfichim, he says it the same way he did it in the Kesef Mishnah. So the Beis Yosef stance is against. The last bit that I wanted to bring today is the Derech Emunah of Chaim Knievsky. Take a look at source Yud Ches. He's commenting on that Rambam about the non-Jew who bought the land in Eretz Yisrael, and he writes, "Benyan peros goyim kvarichu bo kadmoyu basroi." He says, as far as the issue of the non-Jew's produce, he says, earlier and later, they already went in this at length. Vechto b'ktsara. I'm going to write briefly. Hine, bal hatruma mitzadei behilchos Eretz Yisrael. He says, the Baal HaTruma says in his Hilchos Eretz Yisrael that today you are allowed to work in a non-Jew's land, which is very strong. Meaning, even if I say Yesh Binyan, that doesn't necessarily mean I'm allowed to work there. But that's what he says. It's like Surya, and we say Yesh Kenyan, v'chim potter mi Trumas Maisos, and it's exempt from Trum and Maiser too. It's not Eretz Yisrael. One of the Balei Tosfos. The Kaftar Aferach quotes Rabbeinu Eliezer to disagree. The Rambam himself ruled against that. He said the Ein Kinyan Legoi. And below Chilek the Bizman Azeshari, he didn't say today should be any different. V'chein hiskim maran b'chazonish simen chaf, shakala rishonim cholkim al zeh. V'gam agra, shakasa b'yerudei shen lamad alef chav ches, didaz harama kesefer hatruma, to be lenient. Hu atzma lo svir olei kein, kamo shuchiach maran, mi beiro li Yerushalmi. He says, he himself does not believe that, as Maran showed from his explanation in the Yerushalmi. Maran is the Chazonish. It's very tricky when you read the Derech Emunah to know who's Rabbeinu and who is Maran. But he's talking about the Chazon Ish's explanation, which I was going to do this week, but I didn't get to it. But it's in Chazon Ish Shavi Yischaf. The Chazon Ish's explanation of what the Gra said in his parish to the Yerushalmi. Amnam. He says there is a debate between the Beis Yosef and the Mabit as to whether during Shemitah we say Yesh Kenyan or we say Ein Kenyan. The Das HaBeis Yosef, the view of the Beis Yosef is, Demashakasav Kan Rabbeinu Mutarin Ba'achila, Hainu She'ein Ben Kedusha Shvias, that they don't have Shemitah status. V'das HaMabit Ubno Maharit, the view of the Mabit and the Ma'arid is that it was only as far as Sfichin. They demonstrated from the Rambam in Trumos that Ein Kinyan, because he wrote that in Trumos pretty explicitly. Okay, that Rabbeinu again is the Rambam. And that's a Tshuva in Pe'er Hador, which Chazon Ish makes reference to and I'm currently struggling through. And then he writes something remarkable. I tried to go through the Sefer Charedim on this. It's a very long piece. I had to find the best part. But he writes, V'kach kasav Charedim v'ashala v'ma'arit d'marana Beis Yosef chazar bo v'hod l'daz hamavit. That actually the Beis Yosef recanted. Amnam. The Pa'as HaShulchan is a Talmud of the Gra, and he also has a very long discussion on this topic. So the Pa'as HaShulchan Herich Kan Lekayim Divrei HaBeis Yosef She'ein B'Peros HaGoy Kedusha Shvius. He says no, it's right what the Beis Yosef said, that the non-Jews produce has nothing. The Upasa Kain Valpiv Nagu Kain B'Yerushalayim, and that's what they do in Yerushalayim. Knocked down all the Pasa Shulchan's proofs, and that was the psak that he gave his whole life. So what you end up with is, in the late Achronim, is a machlokus between the Pasa Shulchan as the standard bearer for the most extreme position on one side, and the Chazon Ish saying absolutely not. So you get this last little piece that I thought was interesting. V'gisi, my brother-in-law, Harav, I don't know, I think it's Shlomo, Barzam, Zatzal, Sha'al mimaran, he asked our master the Chazon Ish, Im mutar liknos peros goyim b'shvi'is mi'Yisrael ha-socher bahen, al-smach ha-mikilin. He asked whether you could purchase produce of non-Jews during Shemitah from a Jew who is selling them and rely on the lenient view, rely on the Pasa Shulchan, who says... That's the Beis Yosef's view. V'heishiv she'asur. V'sho'al. Harei ein iser d'lifnei iver ka'asher alahu yeish l'milismoch la'atir. He said it's not called lifnei iver if this fellow does have somebody he can depend on. As in the Pasa Shulchan / Beis Yosef. U'le'echad heishiv ein lehem rishus l'nokeim. To one he gave the answer, no, he doesn't have any permission to rely on that. Umaisa she'echad samach ala mekilin v'lo bir yayin shel. I'm sorry, I skipped words. Ve'eshiv ein alein amal ismoch. Right, those were the keywords that I wanted. He said, no, that's not amal milismoch. And this is somebody else, he replied, ein limrishus lino king. Umaisa she'echad samach ala mekilin v'lo bir yayin shel shvias. Someone, in fact, did not do beer with the Shemitah wine. V'hara lo maran lishpoch es hayayin shenasar. He said, you have to pour it out. So he has the Chazon Ish taking a very strong stance to say Ein Kinyan, and that's the end of the story to him. Is Ein Kinyan. Now, obviously, this has huge ramifications when we get to our Heter Mechira discussion. So much so that I'm thinking about moving the topic of Heter Mechira earlier. I had put it later. But the truth is, like once we do this, maybe it's Kedai just to go through the whole sugya and not break it up. I don't know. We'll have to see the flow of the weeks, especially because of the Friday that I won't be here. But that may be Kedai. So that's the upshot here. We see this debate, Yesh Kinyan or Ein Kinyan down the line. Really, the Gemara itself would have left you with a very clear impression that we follow Rabbah, that we say Ein Kinyan, and that would have been that. The only reason I think that we have these doubts is because of this odd language of the Rambam and the Perush HaMishnayos, along with... This, in Dalet Chavtes, his use of Sfichin, the language sort of opening the door. I'm sorry, that's his saying Perosa Mutarin, kind of opening the door for the argument of Yesh Kinyan. But otherwise, the Ein Kinyan argument really seems to be a very strong argument. And then, all these other sources that we're bringing, I would not be tempted to read them the way that the Beis Yosef reads them, if not for the discussion about the Rambam. You would have just said, these are clearly non-Jews produce, demonstrating that non-Jews produce has the laws of Shemitah, has Kedusha Shvius. So, God willing, we will continue next week with the question of, even if we say Ein Kinyan, what are the ramifications of that in terms of what you're allowed to do in a non-Jews land? Okay? I should say, even if we say Yesh Kinyan, really. It's the other way around. If we say Ein Kinyan, then it's very clear. You can't do anything. It's if we say Yesh Kinyan, what you're allowed to do. Yeah. Okay.